Hi everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show as always. With me today is a very special guest, as he is returning for his hat-trick podcast. It is Simon Tyler. How are you today, Simon?
I'm very well, Myra. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. It's great to have you here in the studio. As you can see, we have upgraded, and we have better equipment now. So
yeah, each time, as I say, this is my third, and this is very impressive. It's a proper studio.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course the third, so this is going to be at least in my opinion the big one that we've done. And of course, for those listening, you should go back and listen to the first two podcasts that we did with Simon. They are very interesting, and there will be links in the description below where you can go and you can check those out, and you can actually see the progression that we've done with these as well up until the third one. But of course today we'll be talking about Simon's new book, The Attitude Book. But before we get into that, for our audience and those who missed our first two conversations, Simon Tyler is the author of The Impact Book and The Keep It Simple Book. He is also a much sought-after business coach who works with some of the world's leading companies and business owners. So let's talk about The Attitude Book, Simon. This is the third one within the Concise Advice series. And I want to start off with a pretty straightforward question, and that's, what inspired you to write this one?
This one perhaps should have been the second in the series, because it's been sitting with me for a long time. When I met Martin many years ago and wrote my first book, and which he published, I think probably attitude was, it was in me. The attitude book, perhaps, you could say, was in me, because that tends to be the focus and the product of lots of the work that I do, whether it be coaching people, as you've mentioned, or speaking at conferences or facilitating workshops. Attitude is the consistent thing that I return to, I focus on, I bring people's attention to, and my work is to help them shift them. So my point is, the Attitude Book has been in me for a long time, and I know Martin and the team eagerly pushed me to try and write it a long time back, but it wasn't quite ready. And perhaps I had that creative stall of, no, I'm not ready yet. But it was not until, perhaps, and this is often the case, I was given a deadline. It has to be.
Right.
And the deadline drove me to action, and it was fantastic. So I completed it, obviously, at the turn of this year, just in the corner of January of 2018, and it published last month. So I'm very pleased that it does capture so much of my thinking. And perhaps one of the reasons why it's taken this long for me to eventually put my fingers to the keyboard is because it's such a big subject.
Mm.
And as soon as you start a conversation with somebody about attitude, you just lift the lid on another box of experiences. It's about this, it's about that. What drives people to have a good attitude? What causes an attitude to go down? There's so much on this, which became a challenge in and of itself. How did I just find 50 points to make as opposed to 350?
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about attitude, because I think it is something that we ourselves often fail to notice consciously, but it is arguably perhaps the thing that others notice very quickly about us, and they do it very well. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is happening? Why do so many people are not aware of what their attitude might be in a certain situation?
The busier we are, the less we tend to notice things, and the less perhaps awake we might be considered to be. And you're right, other people will notice our attitude consciously and unconsciously almost immediately. We're animals. Just any other animal in an environment with other animals picks up the vibe of the other creature
first. Eye contact
first.
Might be all you
it
need.
It could be eye contact. It could just be you're in the environment and you sense something is going on. That's it in the animal world, and it plays out totally for us human beings. We can be in an environment, and I've talked to people, and one of the points in the Attitude Book, if you're in a meeting room and you stopped and just considered what's going on, you could experience and then articulate the seven or eight other attitudes that are in the room. And occasionally with teams, I've asked people to do that, which is just, as best you can, describe the attitude that you think you're carrying right now. Then if there were seven or eight people in the room then is the average of those attitudes. And in fact, I quirkily, typical me making words up, I've written one in the Attitude Book, and it's called Roomitude, which is the average attitude in a room, which I've reversed to make that fit. But that describes it totally. And to your point, we often don't realize the attitude that we're carrying until we get the reverberations, we get the ripples of that from other people, that they react in a certain way. And I think, well, why are you reacting like that? I said, well, you started it. Really? Right. Did I? And we don't know until we get that direct and blunt feedback.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And in a business sense, that applies even more, I think, because often, sometimes you might be in a room with people that you don't know very well, that maybe they don't know that you behave in a certain way, that your attitude is a certain way. They might know the factors that are involved in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that complicates matters even most when it comes especially to business leaders. Mm-hmm. If they lead, let's say, a meeting with the wrong type of attitude, that's one thing, but not realizing it might end up doing a lot more damage in the long run.
Absolutely. And I talk about that in a number of different ways in the book, that we don't know everybody's backstory. Everybody has a backstory that's led them to be in this moment right now with whatever attitude they're carrying. Good, bad, indifferent. And depending on what their story has been up to that point, is what they carry into the meeting. And a lot of work for leaders is not to dull down or ignore or pretend you haven't got a backstory that's led you to be happy, sad, or indifferent today. And I talk about this directly in the book, which is acknowledge what's going on for you, notice what it's causing, and think, is this useful? Do I need to do something about this? What attitude would be more appropriate for me to have in this moment or this meeting or this event that I'm announcing? And if that's a long way from where my attitude feels right now, I've got to do some work. Because we can't authentically switch from really feeling low, under pressure, pressurized, to being full of joy and full of beans.
Yeah.
It's never going to be authentic. That's acting in the extreme. There is some journey you can travel to shift your attitude, but just to notice where your attitude is right now and where you'd prefer it to be is the first step.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about that. So being able to be aware of our attitude and in turn change it in a positive way, I think, is a great message within the book. Mm-hmm. Now, how can we make that first step? Are there any perhaps tricks or methods that we can take in being consciously aware of perhaps what's going on around us, and can we be the main factor behind it?
Well, we are. The fact is that we have a choice. We absolutely have a choice. And I know that comes through in lots of the books in the Concise Advice series. We are focused on people's choice to make a different choice, to improve their circumstances or situation, irrespective of the subject of the books in the series. And with attitude, we absolutely do. The first step, if there was one step, is just to notice where you are right now. That's it. Where am I right now? How am I carrying myself? What is it that's affecting me? What is my attitude doing right now? As soon as you've got that, you can do something about it. It is tough, because quite often your circumstances have conspired to help you develop the attitude that you currently have. And then, funny enough, your attitude will conspire to create the circumstances to contain and repeat the attitude. So it becomes an approved circle. You just go round and round. You
keep your attitude. Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. Absolutely. And the point, again, in lots of different ways, I try and give people ideas to break that cycle. And it can be one of them, and it reminds me of, I talk about my son in there when he was at university, and he used certain tracks to shift his mood to be more positively inclined to revise or to work on. He was doing something incredibly mind-boggling as far as I'm concerned in astrophysics. He was writing his thesis in it for his astrophysics paper. And there was one particular track, and it was from the film The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So if you ever hear it, it's very anthemic. But he found that inspired him. He felt his whole body shift when that music was playing in his headphones. So, and I talk about that, and I pick that up, and I've spoken to several other people about how they can use music and a certain playlist to shift the way they feel and shift their attitude. And if you don't manage that, and you allow whatever music to come your way, and some music might make you feel dull, blunt, unimaginative, sad, low, whatever, it has affected your attitude. It's your choice.
Yeah, and of course, I think when we hit the gym, for example, we always try and lift ourselves up and get Absolutely. The right music to go with it.
But, that's a perfect example, yeah.
But let's focus a bit on that, because I think that's very important, since sometimes we can fall into the habit of having the wrong behaviors, the wrong surroundings, which can then impact our attitude in a negative way. So in your experience, what are the most common pitfalls when it comes to sustaining a positive outlook, especially at work, and how do we avoid them?
Mm-hmm. Start point. I'm going to go back again. Start point. If you roll up to work one day, waiting for whatever comes at you to set your day up, you in essence have given over the choice, the decision for how you're going to be, the attitude you're going to carry to external circumstances. And the external circumstances might be really good that day, but they might be bad. Somebody might insult your shirt first thing in the morning, or...
We're not having that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Myra, there's nothing wrong with the shirt, but don't take it literally.
Yeah.
But they might do. Or you might spill your first cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Or whatever it might be, in which case then, because you didn't really have the setup of the day right, you are susceptible to change in the wrong direction. So my point would be to start the day. You decide. That's about having... I don't talk about it necessarily here, but I've talked about it in different ways in either the Keep It Simple book and in the Impact book, which is to almost have your own keynote speech. A keynote speech at a conference is the speech that sets the tone for the whole event. In essence, they are setting the attitude for the conference. And I invite lots of my clients to have a keynote speech for themselves every day, which is, what's today about? Who am I today? What do I really want to achieve today? What's my intention today? So did they have like a mini setup, a mini start to your day? Then your attitude is yours. If you've chosen your attitude, it's incredible how much more resilient that selected, aware attitude is to whatever shows up. If you haven't chosen it, just with a flotsam and jetsam, you'll shift and swing. I was trying to get specifically to your question about what sort of things turn up. Well, look, if you have some resilience, and you need to work on resilience, and again, lots of books in the Concisify series do talk about resilience and what we can do to boost that. The more resilient you are, the more you can hold the line. I would always invite people to just check in every now and then. If you've got an attitude buddy, say, which is somebody who, while I'm working on my attitude for a couple of weeks, just to become more aware about what it does, I'm going to ask somebody to be my check-in buddy. So two or three times a day, we'll just take 5 minutes on the phone or text or in person, if possible, for them to reflect back what they see. You know, I saw you walking this morning and you looked in the dumps when you walked between meeting A and meeting B. And you might say, well, no, I wasn't in the dumps. I was really concentrating. Well, that might be the case, Myro, but when you're concentrating, you look like you're in the dumps.
Yeah.
And that's okay, as long as you realize you're going to be communicating some messages. So, again, I wouldn't be in that particular example I've just described. I wouldn't want to change you necessarily, but just to bring you aware of maybe how you're holding yourself between meetings, if it's important for you to communicate the messages in those times. So that's the example of an attitude buddy.
Yeah, that's some fascinating stuff. And when I think about this and applying it all within the business sense of leaders and managers, they're at the forefront of all this. And they really are responsible for many different aspects of the job, but again, of their teams. And I think that's the most important part of any company. It's the teams, their morale, how they behave, and of course, their attitude. Now, what role do leaders play in fostering the right attitude for their teams? And you've just given us a great example of having someone to help you with this. Mm-hmm. But in turn, you know, we have a fair amount of listeners who are within leadership roles or just starting off their management careers. How can they begin applying this on an everyday basis as they walk into the office tomorrow? What are the steps they can take with their teams?
Good question. It's consistency is the main thing, but that comes from deciding. In the Impact book, I talk about being specific about what is the impact you want to cause? What is your leadership impact intention? And also one of the chapters in the Impact book is entitled Someone is Watching You. And I walk through the metaphor, but it could easily be true, that every CCTV camera in London, for example, is for one day is just watching you. Watching you walk to work from the tube station to your office, from your office to the client, or wherever it might be, And just imagine, what is that CCTV footage going to be revealing? And having worked that through with a number of leaders, it just feels a bit heavy to start with, but it helps them realize that as a leader in any business, however big your team is, you are on show. You're being watched all the time. As I say, that's a little bit heavy, the pressure, you feel that initially, but it's to alert you the fact that you are communicating something all the time, and it's probably your attitude, or it's interpreted as your attitude. And it's an invitation to just upgrade the shirt, the suit, the way you walk, the way you hold, the book you carry, the pen you use. All of them on their own are minutiae and not important. But when they come together, they communicate who you are and what you're all about. If you want to communicate something different, then something's got to change. To keep doing the same thing and expect a different result is the definition of madness.
Yeah.
Is the modern definition of madness. So it's important for leaders to realize that. But the whole point, again, is what is the impact? What is the attitude you want to communicate? And really important to me, and I've tweeted this, probably not enough yet, is lots of the companies that I work with are in some way involved in a culture change program. It's important for those companies to establish a culture, their culture, to create an environment that they want to create for their staff, for their customers, and so on. And my point to all of them is that culture is an output, and I believe that the input is attitude. So if everybody chooses their attitude and it's aligned with what you have chosen to employ in the company, the teams, that will produce the culture. Working on culture is working on the output. Work on the attitude, you're changing the inputs, and that will cause the culture change you want.
Great, fantastic insight. And just to finish off on the topic of leadership in management when it comes to attitude, now I want to paint perhaps a bit of a bleaker scenario. And let's say that we have a bit of a crisis within a team. Mm-hmm. And let's say that there is a team member, you know, their attitude is not the right one that we want. You know, they might be confrontative, they might be trying to not consciously cause trouble, but end up, you know, having different issues arise within team members, which can then cause a bit of a chain reaction, I suppose. As a leader, how do we begin tackling this with our positive attitude? How do we imprint that on an already difficult team member?
Oh, what a challenging question. First response is, I'd want to know more. I want to know the situation. Mm. I want to know the dynamics of the team. Often, when something, in my experience, when that sort of situation exists, and I have encountered them with clients, it's a situation where the person that's causing the poor attitude ripples that you described don't intend to. Occasionally they do. Occasionally they are more destructively manipulative, in which case then it's an HR issue, then it's a policy issue.
Right, something of course, happened. Yeah.
But if, in most cases, it isn't intended, it's an accidental impact of the way they're being, it needs to be addressed and confronted. And as a leader, you've got to address it and confront it. That person might need some work. They might need some coaching on their attitude. They don't realize how they come across. Some people think they're being funny or causing great challenge to thinking and forcing new ideas to happen because of their abrasive edge. But what they're really causing is they're causing people to not feel so great and dampening the attitude.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's got to be addressed by the leader. The leader has to take it to one side on a one-to-one basis and look at reflections. If the team is strong enough and mature enough, I'd put them around a room, around a table in a room, and say, come on, let's get some honesty here. But depending on what the situation is, that might not be the right thing to start with.
Yeah. Absolutely. And of course, in turn, that might have the right impact and then the right positive shift within the attitude itself. And I always say that whenever there is an issue, you should, not run away the other direction. You should walk towards the fire and then make sure that it is put out. But to finish off, Simon, I want to ask you the question I ask, any guest that comes on the podcast, and that's, What are you currently reading, and perhaps do you have any recommendations for our listeners?
In fact, when I did a speech fairly recently, when we launched the LID Library at SEI, I talked to people about something that is a challenge for me, which is the pile of books by the side of the bed. So I am at any one time reading up to 10 books.
Wow.
Which is not a good thing. It's not a muscle.
At the same time?
Yeah. So they're all on the go, and depending on my whim and my motivation, I'll pick the next one up. And I realise, as I talked to them at that speech, that 10's too much. My head is not in 10 books. And I think I'm finding my optimum, that really it's 2 or 3. I can carry 2 or 3 books any one time, and that seems to serve my interest and my reading appetite. And they will always be very different books. There'll be a novel of some sort in there. There'll be a punchy learning book, a little bit like a concise advice book of sorts. And there might be one that's a little bit more challenging, a little bit more out there. So the two I've got on the go at the moment, one is a novel, it's Orphan X, which is fairly a big seller, which I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but I'm enjoying it. It's a nice flight of fancy of this guy that solves the world's crimes and so on. And the second book I'm reading at the moment is about the function of the heart, but the spiritual function of the heart. So it's a little bit out there, but it's written by a cardiologist, so it comes from a scientific viewpoint. And it's about the discoveries that he and his researchers have found about how the heart really does function, and how it can, it flows and almost defies what we'd think from a physics point of view. Well, how does the blood get from there to there? How does it jump across? And it's a little bit challenging for me from an intellectual point of view, but I'm really enjoying it as another movement, a discovery of stuff that we don't know yet.
Yeah, it might be more than just a muscle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great, fantastic. And of course, for our listeners, if that sounds interesting to you, you can check out the links in the description and you can find out more about those books. But with that, Simon, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. It's always a pleasure for you to join us.
Myro, thank you. Number 3, I've enjoyed it immensely. Thank
you. Great, fantastic. And of course, for our listeners, if you enjoyed our conversation today and you'd like to know more about the Attitude book, 50 Ways to Positively Affect Your Life and Work, in the description below, you can find all the links about the book, of course, our conversation, and social media profiles, because we love hearing back from you, our audience. Get in touch with us at LID Radio, and of course, get in touch with Simon, and let's see what you thought about today's episode. And lastly, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us. It is a great privilege to have our great audience each week with us, and we look forward to seeing you on next week's episode.